This year is dedicated to the Rafua Shleim of our dear friend Chaim Feigenbaum, Chaim Yisocha ben Chaya Mushkat, and also to the Rafua Shleima of a very, very precious person, a doctor and a big time Chochan, Yitzchok Yankov ben Batya Soro, Shakodesh Boruch Yishlach Lo Rafua Shleima Men HaShemayim Lala Mechivora Vishasa Gidov, and he should have many more wonderful years with his precious family. So after having kavana that the Torah we are learning should be the Rafuas, the Yeshuas, the Nechamais, let's have a look at the topic we will be discussing today, which is a very, one may say, relevant or an irrelevant topic, but definitely many, many scholars and Talmid Chachamim have been dealing with this issue lately, and numerous people, you know, called me to ask for my opinion. And the topic we will be discussing today is the Gilad Shalit dilemma, Pidyon Shvuyim, and releasing terrorists in order to bring a Jewish boy, a Jewish soldier, back home to his family. In the weekly parsha, we see to what extremes Avraham Avinu went to save one of his brethren from captivity. Vayishma Avram ki nishva ocher veyorech eschanichov yelide beiso yishmoin osa vishloish meyaz veyirdav adan, and Avram fought and waged battle to bring Loit back, and he obviously had 318 soldiers against far greater numbers. Rashi brings a Yesh Oimrim in Chazal that all he had was Eliezer Avdoi, and Eliezer is begemati at 318. So Avram and Eliezer fought miraculously, but Lamala Mederech HaTeva, to bring Lot back home. So we do have some reference about the importance of bringing someone back to his family and to what extremes we have to go. But the question is regarding setting free 1,000 terrorists to bring one Jewish boy back to his family. So the basis, the basic source of this discussion, naturally, is the Mishnah in Gittin, Daf Mem Hei. Ein poydenes eshwam yoyster al kadei demeyan mepnei tikin hu oylam. And the Gemara suggests two different approaches or explanations. What is the tikin hu oylam? Why are we prohibited in paying an exaggerated price? Durch kedetzibura would be one possibility. Too much of a burden put on the tzibur. The tzibur won't be able to carry this burden, and the tzibur will come to desperation, to anias. That is the reason that ein poydnas eshwom yoyse al kadei demeyan. The other suggestion we find in the Gemara is the lo ligrevu velaisu tfei. This will encourage our enemies to snatch more people, take more people into custody, and have ever greater demands for their release, and therefore we should not go beyond what is a reasonable price in Pidyon Shvuyim. Those are the two suggestions. So one might argue that our question is dependent on these two different explanations to the basic halacha. If the reason is Doche de Tzibur, it's not shaykh in our case, because we aren't turning to the Tzibur neither to donate money or has v'shalom to donate children to bring Gilad Shalit back home. However, if the reasoning would be the Roligavu Velesu, one might justly argue that if these terrorists are getting so many of their people back for one Jewish soldier, they definitely would be encouraged to do their utmost to try to take more soldiers, more Jewish people, into custody, into captivity, in order to achieve their goals. And therefore one might argue that is b'chalal the halach of ein poydnas eshvuyim yoyseh mikedei demeyan. So what we will have to check is, what is the halacha in accordance to which of the two different explanations? The Rambam makes it very clear. Hilchas matnas aniyim, perikhes halacha yud beis. I'm quoting the Rambam. Ein poydnas eshvuyim b'yeseh al demeyan mipnei tikin oylam. And the Rambam elaborates, Shelo yihu hu oivim roifim achreyem lishvotam. So the Rambam makes it very clear that the halacha is in accordance to the second approach, And the reasoning of Ein Poidnes Ashuam Yosem Kedei Demeyam is the Oligrevu Velaisu. The Goyim shouldn't be encouraged to take more of our brethren, more Jewish people, into captivity. And therefore, L'cha'oira, one might argue that in our case, we are not allowed to free so many terrorists for one Jewish soldier. In Yeredeya, the Machaber walks in the footsteps of the Rambam, and it's in Reish Nun Bey, Siv Dalad, we find the same in the Shulchan Aruch, that the reason Shem Poidnes is who am Yisrael Kedei, the man is, the Loi Ligrevo Velaisu Tfei. However, I do think that one could strongly argue that this sugya has nothing to do with our dilemma, with our question. So let's see what the Rishonim have to say in that same sugya. There's another Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Chesom and Daf, the famous story of Rabbi Shua ben Chananya b'Shas Hachurban. Maase b'Rabbi Shua ben Chananya shalach lekach gadol sheberomi. Amru lo tinok achad yesh bebeis asurim yifei einayim v'tovru I v'kivtzotav sdurot lo taltalim. Halach Rabbi Shua v'amad al petach beis asurim, and he called from outside, Minos and Meshisiyato Yesura Boizazim, Anna Ono Ototinok Vamar, Halo Hashem Zu, Hotonuroi, Veloyovu Bidroha Valoy, Veloyshamu Viterosoi, Amar, Muftahani Boishamore Robi, Sor, who avoided Shani Zazmikan, Ad Sheerdeno, Bekol Mamon Shipuskim Alav, Amru Lo Zazmisham, Achepodoi, Bamomoin Harbor. So when Rabbi Shua ben Chanani was inspired by that child in the Roman dungeon, he swore and promised, whatever they ask for this child to get him out of prison, I will give. And they actually asked for a very high price, and Rabbi Shua ben Chanani delivered the money and got him out of jail, and ultimately he was one of the greatest Tanoim, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So Tosfos twice in Masechet Gittin on the spot, and once again in Gittin Daf Mem Hei by the source of the sugya Ein Poidnes Hashvuyim. Tosfos asks the question: how did he give that much money, far beyond what was reasonable? Ein Poidnes Hashvuyim. So Tosfos in Gittin Daf Nun Ches suggests two tirutzim. One is Sekonis Nefoshes Shami, because that child was in grave danger to his life. Pikuach Nefesh has a different din, and to save a person's life, we have to give anything we can, far more than a reasonable price. Every price is reasonable when we're dealing with Pikuach Nefesh. Now, one just must comment. Actually, every Pidyon Shvuyim is defined by halachic definition as Pikuach Nefesh. That is clear on Bava Basra Daf Ches, and in Yoredei Assimilation on Beis, Siv Beis and Siv Gimel. It is very clear that we relate to Pidyon Shvuyim as to Pikuach Nefesh, but nevertheless, one must differentiate in order to understand Tosfos. There is a difference between a person that was taken into captivity not in order to be killed or tormented or tortured, but rather as a hostage, you know, for a ransom. And the goyim that took him into captivity have no interest in harming him, but rather they want the money. In that case, it might not be defined as a high degree of pikuach nefesh. But b'shas achurban, that child wasn't taken captive for money, but rather as a means of oppression of the Jewish people, and therefore it was a far greater danger, and therefore Tosfos says, Sekonis Nefoshes Shana. The other teretz in Tosfos is Muflag B'chochmo Shana. If we're dealing with a major Talmud Chochem, and we don't have that many Gedolei Yisrael and Torah scholars, even though in this case we're dealing with a little child, but the child so impressed Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, and he was so totally convinced that this child will be a Gedolei Yisrael and a leader of the Jewish people, which he ultimately was, and Rabbi Shua ben Chanani's judgment was proven to be accurate. So a Talmud Chochem has a different halacha. That's the other Teretz in Tosfos. Daf Mem Hei Tosfos writes a third teretz, and Tosfos writes Shas Churban Abayis Lo Shayech Velo Ligrevu. Shas Churban, there was no svara to say that we shouldn't buy this child out of captivity in order that the goyim shouldn't be encouraged to capture more people. But Tosfos doesn't explain why. Why would there be no chashash of Lo Ligrevu Velaisu B'Shas Achorban? I would offer one of two explanations. One would be, well, B'Shas Achorban, anyway, they killed and pillaged and took loads of people, multitudes, into captivity, so it wouldn't make any sense to say we shouldn't redeem those people and buy them out in order not to encourage the Romans to capture more people. They captured anyway, they captured and killed and destroyed and did whatever they could anyway. That would be one explanation. The other explanation would be, maybe Shas Melchama has different rules, and in times of war, in times of destruction, it is so important to give the people hope and something to hope for and something to be machazik their broken hearts, and therefore Shas Melchama, maybe the rules would be different. The Me'iri in Gittin brings all three Tirutzim, and he does elaborate on Tosfos Teretz Shas Churban Abayis. And I'm quoting the Lashon of the Me'iri. B'Shas Churban Abayis Haita, V'leka L'mechash D'Ligrevu Bo'Tvei, Sh'arei Kulam Golu V'Nishvu. So the Me'iri seems to support the first suggestion we made. B'Shas Churban, everybody was captured, hundreds, thousands were killed, maimed, injured, so it would make no sense, the chashash of the Loy Ligrevu Velaisu, they went to extremes in torturing and murdering our people anyway, and therefore, whatever we could save, we should save. So, which of these Tirusim would be relevant in our case? Well, Gilad Shalit is a precious Jewish child, not exceptional in any way, beyond the fact that every individual is exceptional and every individual is an entire world, as Chazal say, HaMakayim Nefesh Achas Misol Kilokiyem Oyla Molei. But he is a normal Jewish child, precious, but not exceptional in any way. Not a Godel B'Yisrael, not a Talmud Chacham. So according to that Teretz, it wouldn't apply in our case. Shas Melchama? Well, we definitely are in a state of war with the terrorists, but it isn't in any way similar to the times of the Churban. According to the Me'iri says, everybody was captured. That's definitely not Shaykh in our situation. Mokim Sakana? Oh, yes. His life was in terrible danger, and if those barbarians, those terrorists would know at any point that they won't get anything near what they were trying to get, they would have no qualms about torturing and murdering him. They have proved to be probably the most barbaric people and culture on the face of earth, and they have no problem killing and torturing, and so his life definitely was in great danger. So what we have to check is which of the Tirutzim in Tosfos is accepted ruling in Halacha. It is interesting, in that, going back to that same siman, siman Reishon on Beis, in Siv Dalad, the Mechaber asks that a Talmud Chochem, or even a Talmud Charif, he's not a major Talmud Chochem yet, but he has potential, but the Shulchan Aruch does not bring the differentiation between Mokam Sakona and not Mokam Sakona. So obviously, according to the Mechaber does not rule in accordance to Tosfos. And actually the Ramban rejects that Teretz of Tosfos, because the Ramban says, first of all, every captive, every Pidyon Shvuyim is defined as Pikuach Nefesh, so why would there be a difference between this level or that level of Pikuach Nefesh? Secondly, the Ramban argues, when a woman is taken into captivity, there are many other dangers beyond a man that's taken into captivity. She could be violated. And nevertheless, Chazal are not mechalik between a man and a woman, and therefore there is no basis to be mechalik whether greater danger or a lesser danger. And obviously, Shtikas HaShulchan Aruch proves that the Shulchan Aruch accepted the opinion of the Ramban and rejected the opinion of Tosis. However, we do find argumentation in other poskim. Chulas Maram Lublin. He lived 400 years ago, approximately in the same tkufa of the Bis Yosef. In Siman Tesvav, he deals with the question of a Jewish boy who was taken into prison by the Muslims because he was found with a Muslim girl, which was against the law, against Muslim law. And he was tried, and he was to be sentenced either to death penalty or to Hamoras Das, to be converted to Islam. And the Maram was asked, first of all, do we have a mitzvah of buying him out? I mean, he only has to blame himself. He did a terrible aveda. And if we should try to get him out of prison, are we entitled to give Yoiso Mikidei Damo? And the Maram's response is twofold. On one hand, he says, even though he is to blame that he was captured by the Muslims, that doesn't make any difference. It's irrelevant. He is a Shavui, his life is in danger, and we should do our utmost to get him out of prison and pay whatever we have to pay. However, the Maram says, we cannot pay Yoiso Mikidei Domov. So he rejects the opinion of Tosfos, and he brings the same from Chulas Maharival in Siman Kuf Mem Ches. Some great Gedolim in the Tkufa of Maharival felt that B'mokom Sakana even Yoiso Mikidei Domov, but the Maharival's opinion was, in accordance to the Ramban, not accepting Tosfos' opinion, even B'mokom Sakana Ein Poidin Yoiso Mikidei Domov. Some poskim reject the tshuva of Maram Lublin. Beis Hillel, one of the Choshev Svarim in Yoredeya, the Maharshak, their opinion is that B'mokom Sakana, one should pay any price to get a Shavui out of captivity, and the Pisri Tshuva brings the various opinions and simulation on Beis Yif Kotten Dalet. Knesset Yecheskel was 100 years later, Rabbi Yecheskel Katzenelbogen, one of the great poskim 300 years ago in Siman Lamed Ches, he deals with a similar question. A Jew who was a bad guy. He stole, he was a noyef and a ganef, and he was captured by the Malchus, and his life was in great danger, and the Jewish community did have the possibility of paying ransom or shaykhad and getting him out of prison, and he supports the opinion of Maharam Lublin that ain poidin yoisim kedei damayim, even mokom sakona. And he goes on to argue that the tenets of Tosfos l'chayr would be dependent on the two different tamim, the two different interpretations of the basic halacha, because if the tam is mishum dochke de tzibura, it definitely makes sense to differentiate B'mokom Sakana. Well, Derech HaTzibura is, we do not want to put an excessive burden, too much of a burden on the tzibur, but when we're dealing with Pikuach Nefesh, nothing is ever too much. But if our cheshash is that they will take more people into captivity, so Mehecha Tesa, you want to save one person and put many other people's lives into jeopardy. So if the reason is the Loligra Vovaleso, even a Sakana would not justify paying Yoiso Mikidei Domov. So if we accept the Svara of the Knesset Yecheskel, then we already saw before, as I quoted 15 minutes ago, that the Halacha is in accordance to the reason of the Loligra Vovaleso, and therefore we could fully appreciate why the Mechaber does not accept the Teretz of Tosfos, B'mokom Sakana, Poiden, Yoiso, Nekedei, Demeim. So after this lengthy discussion, our conclusion, L'cha'oira, would be, even B'mokom Sakana, Ein, Poiden, Esen, Shvuam, Yoiso, Nekedei, Demeim. There's a very, very famous story, a story with a very unhappy end. The Malama Rutenberg was one of the greatest Gedolim in his time, the Reverend Rebbe of the Rush. And in his older years, he was taken captive by the Malchus, and he was kept in a certain fort. And I think that was in Germany, I don't know exactly what system it was and who exactly took him into custody, but it was the Malchus. And the Jewish community wanted to buy him out, and actually the authorities were willing to let him free for a very steep price. But the Malama Rutenberg himself rejected the proposition, and he said, "Ein poydnes es vorm yoysem ikedei demeyem," and he actually died in captivity, which was a tremendous loss for the Jewish people. And many Gedolim discuss what was the rationale of the Malama Lublin and the Marshal and Yamshel Shleima, Mesechet Gittin Perek Dalet Zemen Samach Vav, has some very interesting comments. And the Marshal argues he was the Gadol Hador. So if the Shulchan Aruch paskens, and that is most of the Rishonim, even the Ramban agrees that a major Talmud Chokham has a different halacha, then why wouldn't the Malama Rutenberg let them buy him out? And how about Bittul Torah? So the Marshal writes that the Malama Rutenberg understood if they're going to buy him out, then the Goyim will take all the Gedolim into captivity. I mean, if the Jewish community is going to come up with so much money, then why wouldn't they take all the other Gedolim? And the Marshal writes that there is some type of a Messiah that the authorities were looking for the Rosh as well, and the Marash fled and hid, and they didn't find him. So the reasoning of the Malama Rutenberg was, they're going to buy him out, he's putting all the other Gedolim Yisrael into grave danger, and therefore his psak was, Ein poydnes es vorm yoysem ikedei demeyem. However, in that same siman, the Marshal writes that the minig in our times is to pay any price to get prisoners out of Goyish captivity. And this minig is also supported by Chulis Haradbaz, Chelak Alef Siman Mem. Both the Marshal and the Radbaz go to great lengths to explain this minig, but that is the minig. Okay, now coming back to our situation and our dilemma. After saying all that we've said and proving that basically the netiya seems to be to Isser and not to Heter, because in our case one might argue 1,000 for 1 is not reasonable. They will be encouraged to try to snatch more Jewish children, especially soldiers, and take them into captivity. However, I do think that if I would have to decide, I probably would decide to bring him home, and I'll explain why I think our sugya is different than all that we find in the Gemara and the Poskim. First of all, I want to make one little comment. It's not decisive, but it is relevant. Tosis explains in Ksubas Aflamet Gimel Amet Beis that sometimes we assume that Yisurim are worse than death, and torture could be something beyond description and so terrible. And we've known from the past that being a Jew in Arab captivity, the pain that they inflict on our children could be unbearable, undescribable, and something we cannot even imagine. And therefore, maybe even when one's life is in danger, ain't poison, maybe to save a person from torture and from Yisurim, we would find more basis to bring him home. But that is not the Ikka argument I want to make. I want to make an interesting comment. The sugya in Masechet Gittin deals with money, because in those days the reason for the Goyim to take Jews into captivity was motivated entirely by betzer kesef, by money. And therefore the halacha is, ein poydnes vorm yoysem ikedei demeyem. When we're dealing with people for people, how exactly do we define yoysem ikedei demeyem? if one would argue that people and dollars have the same din, then we should pass him that we cannot free a Jewish prisoner from Arab captivity, only one for one. And I think that none of the right-wing Rabbanim that came out so strongly against the Shalit deal would give a psak aloha that would prohibit the State of Israel to free two terrorists for one Jewish soldier. But by halachic definition, that would be l'chore considered yosim k'day demayim. So how come 2 yes, 10 yes, 50 yes, maybe even 100 or 200 yes, and 1,000 not? That's just some kind of emotional feeling that has no basis in halacha. So one might argue, when we're dealing with people, one Jew is worth a million terrorists. How does one define what is considered yoiso mikedei demayim and what is considered kedei demayim? And I want to make an additional argument. It might feel or seem to some to be provocative, but I think it definitely is relevant. In that same Mishnah in Gittin Daf Mem Hei, there is an additional halacha that somehow we prefer to ignore. But in the same Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, "Ein poiden es a shvuyim yoisa mekedei demayim," the Mishnah also says, "Ein mavrichim es a shvuyim mepnei tikkun olam or mepnei tikkun es a shvuyim." "Ein mavrichim es a shvuyim" means we should not make any attempt to free the prisoners by force. So those same Rabbanim that came out so strongly against the Shalit deal in the name of halacha, would they agree to give a psak that the Israeli army is prohibited making any attempt to free an Israeli prisoner by force, even in a case in which they are totally confident that the military operation will be successful? They have no doubt. The Mishnah says, "Ein mavrichim es hashvuyim mepikun olam." Pikun olam means that maybe in the future they will put excessive shmira over our prisoners and curtail their relative freedom or comfort. And the Gemara's Mesupik is that Mishnah Tikkun Olam, Mishnah Tikkun Hashvuyim. According to one interpretation, if it is Mishnah Tikkun Hashvuyim, then this rule wouldn't apply only if they have another Jew in captivity. If it is Mishim Tikkun Olam, even if presently there is no one else in captivity, but in the future they might be tougher with Jewish prisoners, and therefore Ein Mavrichim Es HaShvuyim. Now, nobody I know in his proper senses would argue that Israel should not make any attempt by halachic definition to free prisoners because of this Mishnah. So behechreach, we must understand that our dilemma has nothing to do with the basic of halacha of Ein Poiden Es HaShvuyim Yoisa Mikedei Demeyim. So the question is, why? I think that we cannot make a gzeira shova between our situation in which we are a sovereign state dealing with terrorists and based on and trying to draw a conclusion based on the dimyan, on the similarity between the halacha that we find in the Mishnah. A state is entitled, and in a way, morally obligated to do everything to bring its children home, especially those children that are waging war for the country, for the people, for the nation. And even though there is no contractual agreement, but that is the ethos of the Israeli army and Israeli society, that those children that volunteer to go to war rest confident and are confident that the state, the army, will do its utmost to bring them safely home. One cannot underestimate the security benefit that is attached to this basic understanding and moral, ethical obligation. The responsibility of a country to bring its children home has such far-fetched implications and ramifications which one cannot underestimate. So I think that the question when we are dealing with a country bringing its soldiers home, soldiers that were taken into captivity while serving their people on the battlefield, it has nothing to do with the sugya of Ein Poiden Es Eshvur Mioisim Kedei Lameim. I also made the argument that when exchanging people, there is no definition of the Mayim and Yoisa Mikedei the Mayim. Actually, what does Yoisa Mikedei the Mayim mean? This is a discussion in the Poskim. Some argue, as much as he is worth to be sold as an Eved. Once upon a time, people were sold into slavery. And this was a phenomenon widespread in the entire world. Americans know very well this is part of American history. Everybody knows what it means to be sold down the Mississippi. Actually, probably the major factor that brought the Civil War was the topic, the argument about slavery. So Kedei de Mayim, by halachic definition, is how much is a person worth to be sold or bought as a slave. So in our times, how would we define Yoisim Kedei de Mayim, even if we were dealing with money? Other poskim argue Kedei de Mayim means the price that goes, what they usually ask. It has nothing to do with Avdus, you know, because 300 or 400 years ago, Avdus wasn't that prevalent and accepted in many places in Europe. So Kedei de Mayim would mean, you know, what is actually the price? So, to our dismay, out of total disregard of the Arabs to the life of their children, Kedei de Mayim has become hundreds for one. But there is no market. And these deals aren't commonplace. They don't happen every day. So I think it's impossible to define what is the man and what is Yoisim Kedei the man. We don't have these exchanges every week or every 2 weeks. There is no marketplace in which Israel exchanges terrorists for Jewish soldiers. And therefore I think that it is impossible by halachic definition to define what is the Mayim, what is Yoisim Kedei the Mayim. And that's an additional reason I think that this halacha is not the same at all to what we find in the Mishnah, in the Rishonim, and in the various poskim. Argument number 3, Shas Malchama. Many Achronim already stressed and noticed the basic assumption that the rules, the halachas of melchama, hilchis melchama, are different than other rules of pikuach nefesh. There's a major discussion in the poskim whether a person is entitled to put himself into suffix sakana in order to save another Jew from a sakana gemura. If we will try to apply this halacha to warfare, such an army would always be vanquished. The basic halacha in Melchama is that a person, soldiers, are expected to put their life into jeopardy and get into danger to save others, to save their people, even in grave danger, because warfare always involves great danger. So the basic rules of Pikuach Nefesh don't apply to Hilchis Melchama, and therefore I think that we are waging war with our enemies, with the terrorist organizations, and Dinei Melchama have total different principles. It is even different than Shas Chorm, because Matisa speaks about Rabbi Shua ben Hanania, that was in the time of Chorm ben Habayis, and at that stage probably the Jewish fighters were vanquished. Our situation is a totally different situation, and Dina Melchama, the state has to take into consideration how it affects the morale of soldiers and their motivation to fight and to volunteer. And for these many reasons, I think that the Bonham have to be very cautious while passing halachic rulings in issues that have far-reaching security and political implications. And I think that one cannot reach a clear verdict on a clear psak in our question based on the various sugyas in Mesechet Gittin and in Yeradeya dealing with the sugya of Ein Poydnes Ashvuyim Yoyser Al Kedei Demeyim. I just want to get back to the posuk with which we began this shiur. Avraham Avinu goes to war to save Lot from captivity, and I think we see from Avraham Avinu to what extreme a Jewish people, a Jewish leader would go to save our brethren from Sakana and from captivity. We are relatively in the beginning of Sefer Bereshis, and one of the basic thoughts I always speak about in the beginning of Sefer Bereshis is Masa Oves Yitzira Labonim. Whatever we have from the Oves HaKadoshim. The Baal HaTurim points out, V'yohavtu as Hashem Elokecho b'chol avavchu b'chol nafshechu b'chol mo'idecho. And Chazal say, b'chol avavchu, with all your heart, with all your nefesh, afilu noitles nafshecho, a person has to be moise nefesh for ahav as Hashem. The Baal HaTurim points out, v'ohavtu is the same letters as ha'ovois. Because this koyach of mesiras nefesh we have only from the Oves HaKadoshim. And when Avraham Avinu was oimid basor ha'nesiyonos, with those asor ha'nesiyonos he gave his children and grandchildren, Klal Yisrael throughout the ages, the koyach of mesiras nefesh, to stand in challenges, to stand in nesiyonos. I once explained that I think it is a beautiful thought, and probably it is emes. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Ches tells about a Jewish mother and her seven children who were murdered by the Roman ruler, who demanded from each of those seven children to be Meshtachav al Tzelem, to worship an idol, to worship him. And each of those courageous Jewish children was Meisa Nefesh, each of them quoting a different posik of Mesiras Nefesh and Ahavas Hashem. And when her youngest child was to be killed, she hugged him, embraced him, and kissed him, and she told him, Lech v'omar to Avraham Avinu, Ata akadata akeda achad, v'ani akadati shiv'a mizbechot. So, what did she mean to say to Avraham Avinu? Why are you so proud of yourself, Choti Avraham? I am far greater than you are. Those are words that shouldn't be remembered. I mean, did she mean to belittle the great Avraham Avinu? My feeling is she meant to say, Lech v'omar to Avraham Avinu, when you're going to go up to Gan Eden, as every Jew that's Moise Nefesh for Kedushas Hashem goes up to Gan Eden, look for our father Avraham and tell him, thank you Avraham. It is only in your schis and in your koyach, ata kadata mizbeach achad, ubekoychacho hagodol, I was zoicha lekoid shiva mizbechis. If not for Avraham, we couldn't have those koyches lamala medeach ateva to be Moise Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Ramban says, Masa Avois, Hem Lorak Siman Lebanim, Masa Avois, Hem Yitzirah Lebanim. And whatever we have from our great Avois. The Asor HaNesiyonos of Avraham Avinu were all encompassing. they touched every realm of human nature, of human emotion, of human feeling, and it is only from Avraham that we have those tremendous koiches of Mesiras Nefesh. Rab Chaim Mevalozhin, in his Sefer Ruach Chaim and Masechet Avos, goes into various details explaining the immense effect that Avraham Avinu and the other Avos Yitzchak and Yaakov had on each and every Jew throughout the ages, on the collective Mesiras Nefesh and feelings and emotions and dedication of Klal Yisrael and the Kesher that we all have to Avinu Shebashamayim. And Reb Chaim points out that when a Yid is Mishtoki Klal is Li'eretz Yisrael, it is because Avraham Avinu wanted to embrace the land and come into Eretz Yisrael. And every realm of the Vekas and Avodas Hashem, our Koiches, always come from the Avos. As I quoted the Baraturim, Ve'ohavto is Oisiyas Ho'avos. And my feeling is that this unbelievable devotion and dedication on Mesiras Nefesh that we have as a people to bring our children home. We live in a time, to our dismay, many, many of our brothers and sisters, our brethren, aren't really from, many of them aren't medactic b'mitzvahs, but nevertheless, this pintle yid, in every Jewish heart, there is a fire of the dveikus burning. We just have to uncover that spark and let it blaze into a tremendous Eish Kodesh shall have us, Eish Kodesh of Ahavas Hashem. But sometimes, we don't have that many days of grace, but sometimes you're really proud to be not only a Yid, but even an Israeli. It's not very common, but what happened in Eretz Yisrael the day when Gilad Shalit was freed, it's an unbelievable phenomenon and feeling when an entire country suddenly turns and is transformed into one little family. I don't think there was one household in Israel which didn't feel that its child, its son, has come home from captivity. And I think this is totally unique. I don't think there is anything similar in any other place, in any other country in the world. And to me it is very clear. This is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Shoma Kinish Ba'ochi, Ve'yorach Eschanicha, Ve'yelide Beisoi, Shmoin Osa, Ve'shvoi Shmeyaz, Ve'yirdoif Adedan, against all odds, against all odds, but he couldn't bear the fact that his brother was taken into captivity and he's going to rest and calmly at home. And that is in the heart of each and every Jew, each and every generation. It is in the heart of all of us, because we are Zera, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all our koiches are from our Avos HaKadoshim. The Zoyche Chas de Yovo Yisumevi Geula Levnei Veneim Laman Shemoy Bi Ahavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember for us, Schus Yovo Yisum, Chas de Yovo Yis, and the Avos HaKadoshim should be Mispalo for us, Uvo Letzirin Goyol, we should be Zoyche to Yeshua's Yisroel, Bias Goyol Tzedek, Bemheiro V'yomeinu, Amen.